welcome to this episode of One Footer in the Grave, which is appropriately sponsored by Allopurinol, the gout medication for when your big toe hurts like a bastard. And prednisone, the steroid treatment that guarantees that your toe won't just be massive, but it'll be muscle mass. I'm Andy Clark, and joining me on the show this week is John Hicks.
Hello.
Hey, you bought yourself a car, John. Tell me all about that. Take as long as you like.
I was also going to just say, because you've listed your medications, so I was just going to add to that list omeprazole. And clobetasate.
Never heard that.
Yeah, well, you'd be glad you don't need that one.
it's for that, is it?
So, I just want to add those to that list of. I think it's appropriate for a podcast of this nature that we list the pharmaceuticals that we need every day.
Okay.
I took a trip down to that London weekend before last to go and see the State of the Browser conference, not because I was, particularly into the conference, but there was a bunch of people that were going. I knew Richard Rutter was there. Hello, Richard, friend of the show. And Jeremy Keith was there. Bruce Lawson was there. And
not
Stuart
friends
Langwich.
Of the show.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not. No.
And a bunch of other people. Anyway, we went out for lunch, and the conversation generally sort of coalesced around ailments. Yeah. And I think it was Stuart Langwich that said, "Oh, do you remember when you used to be able to piss like a fire hose?"
Well, yeah.
And now when you piss, it is like a fire hose.
Like a fire.
Yeah.
So tell me about your car, John.
I remember being a little boy in the school toilets, all seeing how high we could get.
Wouldn't get very high now. I'm lucky.
Tell me about your car, John.
Yeah, what's the car? What's this thing?
Well, it's been a while now. Ooh. Oh, it's nothing big. I bought a new car back in April.
Is it a midlife crisis car, or is it a sensible car?
No.
Oh, I hope so. I really hope so.
No, it was very closely was, though. As in, I tried to avoid looking like a midlife crisis car, because, there comes a level when certain Porsches become kind of attainable, if they're old enough. But no, didn't get a Porsche. And I very much liked Audis, didn't get an Audi. So I was looking for something that to replace my Land Rover, which wasn't the big, big Land Rovers, but it was a big SUV. Flops around corners when you it's not exciting to drive, but it's big and comfortable. So I've gone for something smaller, kind of as comfortable, but a lot more engaging, which is a Mini Clubman Cooper S, which got loads of room in the back for shoving all our stuff, like Lee's stuff for markets. But it's really chuckable. It's like that whole thing about minis being like Dodgem cars, or you can just go karts, not Dodgem cars. Dodgem cars is a little bit more restrictive on the road. I'm enjoying that, and I just wanted something a bit different, mainly because
was the Mini Clubman the one that used to have wooden sides?
Yes, because it was my first ever car.
No.
Well, it had
wasn't that the Morris Traveller?
No. The
half timbered car. Clubman,
that had the Mini Clubman had back doors.
Yeah, it was the back doors. It was my first ever car. That was, and I could drive it with my knees.
Showing weight.
Because I was far too big for the car, and also my friends had a habit of picking it up and taking it away. They would pick it up and move it round the corner. So they did it regularly. It only took about four of them to move it. They could pick it up and move it. Those were the days when I had four friends. So it was an exciting time.
Well, now you've only got one, apparently.
I would have hoped I had three, but I'm making judgments there.
They're not exactly minis, though, minis, are they?
Oh, no.
They're little BMWs, basically. They're not... Yeah. I mean, especially because the minis, as was, which I always grew up thinking, oh, I want a mini when I'm older, because of the Italian job, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, look, nice mug. Yes, the little interlude there to show off your nice Hickspade mug. Minis always had these sort of horizontal steering wheels, didn't they? Because basically there wasn't enough room for your knees and the steering wheel to be in a normal position. So I grew up thinking, oh, yeah, I'd love a Mini because of the Italian job. But then when I got into it and thought, this is like driving a little bus. Didn't like it. But they're really good now. And like this, like when we did about 10,000 miles since we got it in April. And we did things like we went down to Cornwall for a gig just for one night. And just chucking it around all these little minor roads. It was great. Loved it. And I loved the fact that it wasn't this sort of... I didn't go for the kind of the big, obvious kind of prestige car.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
what flavour did you get? What flavour of Clubman was it? Is it a zesty orange or a minty?
It's a black.
It's a Cooper S.
It's a none more
be
black.
A proper boy.
It's got
not what colour is
it's,
it?
It's actually a little bit wanky. So,
ooh,
a bit wanky because
colour in the colour chart.
Oh, it's not reflected in the colour.
Wanky black.
Yeah, but just hang on a sec because as I was looking at that, decided actually, yeah, I want a Clubman. That would be really good. Trying to work out, okay, how do I get the spec that I want? Because you get these kind of packs and it's got the leather seats in that one, but that one's got the nice stereo or whatever. You know? And they did this edition last year called the Untold Edition, which this is the wanky bit, you see. So it's black with brass accents. So... But is it
brass,
not gold. No, not gold, not
brass.
Bling.
What, like a pub?
It's brass. It's like
horseshoe hanging on the back as well.
Well, do you know what? Horse brasses on the outside would go very nicely. That would really. And I'm tempted now, and I'm going to try and work out how to do that. But it's that kind of. It's like a matte, kind of like not shiny and smooth, but kind of. Slightly kind of textured. Anyway, if you go on my website, in the footer, there's a little mini icon, and if you click that, it just shows you a photo of them.
Brushed brass.
Brushed brass,
I learned to drive in my mum's beige Mini 1000, and it really was proper beige. It was the beige of the 70s, even though that was probably early 80s. I loved that little car. I'd have it back now.
John, does your car have the Union Jack stoplights?
Unfortunately, yeah, it does. It's really hard to buy Minis now without that.
Because what really annoys me, and once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Because they've
taken the Union flag, chopped it down the middle. The left-hand side goes on the left indicator. The right-hand side goes on the right indicator. But that means that the arrows formed in the flag go the fucking wrong way. See, once you see it, you cannot unsee it.
See, obviously that doesn't bother me. And this is actually another reason why I bought this particular edition, because Minis also, they put the Union Jack everywhere. They have the steering wheel and, you know, all these sort of accents on the doors and things. It's like really going for it with the Union Jack. And this one doesn't have that. Apart from the lights, so it's but yeah, it's a bit of fun, and I'm probably in a year's time going to regret it and actually going to want to buy a Porsche. But you know,
it's that I'm looking at it now on your website, it is vaguely midlife crisis in a slightly quirky way, isn't it? It's not,
it's those wheels, isn't it? It's those nice bits,
yeah.
My nephew calls it a Bradford Special Edition. But the thing is, our Land Rover was just dying, so it needed replacing quickly. So I had to make my mind up.
It's a good choice.
Yes, I approve.
Yeah, it's a good choice.
On the subject of cars, because I live in pothole city around here, and little tiny lanes, my normal Mercedes just can't cope with it. It just I've had cracked wheels, tyre blowouts, all this kind of thing. So we've decided on a Subaru Outback, I think it is, as the next car, which is the most boring estate car you've ever seen in your life. But it's four-wheel drive and it's slightly high. Mm. And I'm actually quite excited by it. And everyone I says around here, they go, oh, yeah, good car.
I've got a Subaru Forester.
Is that the estate or the...
It's the full SUV.
We can spend the
next 45 minutes, Marcus, talking about how brilliant the Boxer engine is.
Ah, excellent. Right. Okay, so this really is the right choice, isn't it?
You could buy
a stupid little baby Mini or baby BMW, or you could get a proper car like a Subaru.
So when we came back from Australia and we needed a car, I'd seen Subarus a lot in Australia. And weirdly, over there, they're marketed at butch lesbians.
So it was the obvious choice for me and you.
Butch lesbians love a Subaru. Anyway, come over here. They only sell about 4,000 Subarus a year in the whole of the UK. They are not a big seller. But I would go around and I thought, oh, let's go and look at some other stuff. Let's go and look at Peugeots or Renaults or Volvos or whatever. And every showroom that I went to, they say, you know, what else are you looking at, sir? And I go, thinking about a Subaru Forester. And without exception, they all went, yeah, good car that. I would just I'd go for the Subaru. Yeah.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
Subaru, what a choice. Brilliant car. I can't see myself having another type now.
Because I once tested out a Mazda MX-5, and the sales guy came up, and I was trying it out, and it's a sales guy wandered up, and I said, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a short list of cars that I'm looking at, you know, changing to, and the MX-5 is one of them. And he came out with this fantastic sales line of, well, that must be quite an eclectic list then, because there's nothing quite like the MX-5. Oh. so that one was off the list, and also the fact that I completely lost any kind of dignity getting in and out of this tiny little roadster. And this is the one thing about things like your Subarus and the old Land Rover is getting in and out so easy. Like your bottom doesn't have to change, you doesn't have to lower anything, you just swivel in like that.
My knees.
And I miss that. I don't get that with the Mini. So that bottom swivel action is nice.
Well, you've made a grand choice there with the Outback.
Wonderful. Thanks, Uncle Andy.
That's all right.
So are you going to introduce anyone else? Like, you know.
Yeah, you only introduced John.
Yeah, well, but you introduce yourselves on the other podcast that we don't talk about. So I don't need to bother.
Someone's bitter that we've started seeing other podcasts.
Oh, I feel we walked into that one, Paul.
I think it's perfect, and I'll tell you why. Because whenever we do the BOAG World Show, people fall into one of two categories. They either go, it's far too much waffle, right? So I do Digital Insights, which is basically just me reading my blog posts. So that's the really condensed version. And then the other category of people is, oh, we love the waffle. We want more waffle. Well, now we've got One Footer in the Grave, which is all waffle. So, you know, I've got a nice lineup of podcasts. Yeah, exactly. Mm. Yeah. Mm.
So yeah, no, I'm only joking. We love you, really. We just wanted to tickle your fancies.
We're just taking bets on how long it would be before someone, like, you know, flagged it as an issue.
And who won?
I don't know. We don't.
It was much longer than I expected. So kudos.
Yeah. I've written down drugs that I'm not taking currently, but I was taking quite a lot of and everything.
Go on then. What are your drugs?
A really weird one is amitriptyline. I don't advise that.
Ooh.
I had twice this year. I probably was moaning about it on the last time we recorded the podcast, but I've had a trapped nerve in my neck. And I've never known anything like that before. It's not like really painful. It's just sort of like won't go away and your fingers go numb or weird stuff like that. Anyway, amitriptyline was originally created as a... what do you call it? A
horse tranquilizer?
No. When you're feeling a bit sad.
Antidepressant.
Chocolate.
Antidepressant. Oh, thank you. See, I can't, Paul and I don't know words today, and that was a good example.
Well, your inadequacies on me. I might have a slight hangover because I'm staying at a vineyard, but beyond that, I'm perfectly coherent. Carry on.
Anyway, antidepressant, not very good at that, but they found that it's about one of the few drugs that actually has an effect on nerve pain, because most painkillers don't really touch it, because it doesn't hurt, it's just weird. Anyway, but it's really annoying. So started taking this, and they said, well, you might feel a bit sleepy in the mornings, but it'll, you know, and you can take 1 to 5 of these tablets. Start off with one, and you might feel a bit sleepy. Before you go to bed, this was. And anyway, so, and I'm thinking, I don't like the sound of this. I've taken things in the past that make you feel a bit sleepy, and it's like you've got a horse on your back for days. And exactly the same thing happened. And I couldn't keep my eyes open for the entire day. Now, about 8 p.m., when it was sort of time to think about taking the next one, I was just about waking up. So basically, don't take those would be my advice.
Can I ask you a quick question about that? Was it an aroused horse?
No, good. It would be a very sleepy horse.
I feel kind of compelled to say none of us are medical professionals. Please seek proper medical advice.
This is normally legal, isn't it? But yeah, we've moved to medical.
Do not stop taking your prescribed drugs just because Marcus says it's not very nice. I just thought I'd throw
all
that in.
All the drugs mentioned on this episode are available on our website.
Well, I have noticed, true to form, that none of you have expressed any sympathy at the fact that my big toe hurts like a bastard.
Well, you didn't actually say it did. You just said the show was sponsored by gout medicine.
I suppose.
So I thought you were referring to previous incidents. It's back then. The gout is back.
It did come back. It came back while we were away during the summer.
Right.
And it has actually gone away now, thanks to the allopurinol. And
was that when you were eating lots of rich French food, no doubt?
Yes, and German food.
And drinking lots of rich French wine.
Well, I don't drink wine, but yes. My diet wasn't exactly, you know, clean. So, yes, I woke up one morning and my toe was about the size of a pomegranate.
Ooh,
and around about the same colour.
Oof. I think that's too much information. Yeah, I feel like you've overstepped.
Oh, no, it sounds very
painful.
You've
overstepped some invisible line there. I mean, we're one step away from discussing hemorrhoids at this point. And
yeah, I don't want to dwell on my sad gout anymore. But yes,
you brought it up.
Yeah. Let's move on to another topic.
You literally introduced it at the beginning of the podcast in the first sentence. So,
well, and then brought it up again.
And said that I'm feeling like I'm sad I haven't got any sympathy.
Twice!
Forget about the gout. Don't mention
the
gout.
Are you better now, Andy?
Don't mention the gout.
Are you better?
Yes, I'm fine, thank you.
Good. That's good to hear.
So we are 20 minutes in. Do we have anything to talk about this episode apart from Subarus and gout?
Well, you sent through a list of things that we're supposed to be talking about, and we haven't talked about any of them yet.
Well, we've talked about the Clubman, but we've not talked about Club
Biscuits.
Was Clubman on? I didn't even see Clubman on the list. See, I wasn't paying attention. To be fair, it's early for me, so you know there's that. Carry on. Club Biscuits. Why are they important? Why do we care about Club Biscuits?
Well, it was a loose and rather terrible segue between Clubmans and... In fact, if you'd have been paying attention, Paul, I did ask John what flavour his Clubman was. Was it zesty orange or was it mint? But it went right over your head.
Straight over.
Right over your head.
Yeah. Didn't get that at all.
No. And he didn't say licorice either. He just said black.
Yeah. But he did make a very oblique Fast Show reference. In the way that he said black, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, good.
I spotted that one.
Johnny Nice Painter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, While we're on the subject of comedy, I just want to say thank you, John. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Because we're all laughing at you.
Yeah.
Because you're a right clown. What were they doing?
For the Mortimizer.
What's the Mortimizer?
We mentioned
I don't know whether you've seen this, listeners, but if you... Did we talk about this last time? I can't remember.
We have mentioned it
yes,
before.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
we have. Well, I've been using the Mortimizer to create names in
persona
my design
names.
Mock-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if I'm doing a client project and I wanted to, you know, put some fake testimonials in, then yes, there would be Howard Anyasol or Sheila Savlon. To continue the medical theme.
Yeah.
I better say, any kind of medical or pharmaceutical terms, they all work really well with that kind of thing, you know. Apart from Ken Warhammer's my favourite still.
Did you write the JavaScript for that?
No. Did I copy and paste it off Stack Overflow? Yes.
Oh, okay.
Stack Overflow, oh, that's so 2010. These days, you just
get
AI to write it for you.
Well, you can do, yeah.
I've been getting
AI. But this
AI...
was an old script that's very basic. It just takes one list and another list and takes one
Of
each array. So it's really simple. I mean, it's so simple that I couldn't do it.
I was gobsmacked. There have been a couple of times when I've wanted WordPress plugins to do really, you know, one of them was to display time in the local person's time zone. So not an amazingly simple thing because, you know, different times change, don't they, with British summertime and all the rest of it. I just described it to... what was it? I think it was Claude I used. And it just built the WordPress plugin for me and it works perfectly. And it's like, yay! And now I don't need to be able to code anymore. I can just get somebody else to do it for me.
It's amazing that it actually did work because I have tried it with things like JavaScript, you know, just out of interest. And I would say it works like 2 times out of every 8, something like that.
Yeah. What it was is I used the new... sorry, this is almost a sensible discussion, and I apologise for going sensible. But I used the new version of ChatGPT. It was ChatGPT 4.0 or whatever it is. I can't remember what the new... Oh, 0.1, that's it. They've started the numbering again. And that is incredibly good. It got it first time, no follow-up. I mean, I did describe what I wanted in quite a lot of detail, but it got it first time, just worked. So, yeah,
I always feel a bit kind of aware of the fact that I'm so anti-generative AI, and if I talk about, I just got ChatGPT to write some script for me, you know, it's really hypocritical.
But, John, that is because you have standards while I have none. So, you know, and that's what happens. If you insist on having scruples, then you have to live with the consequence of that.
I just want people to like me.
There's medication you can take for scruples.
Oh, that didn't deserve a laugh, but it got it anyway.
It stopped the serious discussion.
Yeah, least. It did.
Well, one thing I would like to say, as I've seen, Bob Mortimer's got a book out. Has anyone read it?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Have you read this first one?
Nope.
It's all right. Basically, if you've ever watched his appearances on Would I Lie to You and read his autobiography, you will see that all kind of in the mix because it was Satsuma Complex was the first one. And you can see basically how he sort of worked a story around all his stories that he's made. Mm. And it was all right. It was fun. But I haven't yet kind of... It wasn't enough to make me think, oh, yeah, I really must read the next one. But it's probably good.
Okay. Well, that's that one stuff.
That ends the book club.
He is by far the most entertaining person on Would I Lie to You? I mean, his stories are just off the wall. They're just wonderful.
And as much to get David Mitchell's reactions, because they are priceless. that just he'd live for those moments where he's just so panicked, he doesn't know what to do. It sounds false, but it could be true because it's Bob, and because he throws in these like names of people like Ken Waffle and things that you know it makes it sound implausible, and it's joyous. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you were on the show, John, we can go round the table. But if you were on the show, what would be one of those improbable stories that might just be true?
Oh, that's... You have to give me more time to think about that.
Marcus.
No, I was the same panic.
I could go... Paul. All right, yeah. I would go with...
I know what your one's going to be.
There's a list. There is a list. Which one were you going to say, Marcus, for a matter of interest?
Just the fire service comes to mind.
I had the fire for the listener. I had the fire service called out to rescue me when I was perfectly fine because of some dumbass Twitter follower. Right, so I was going down to Somerset for a Christmas family get together, which I really I used to despise. I'm now reached the age where actually I quite like catching up with the family because you know I'm old now. But at the time, I absolutely despised doing these things. So off we went to Somerset, and it was in the days where I actually cared about Twitter. So as we were driving down there, I was moaning about having to do this, and then. Eventually I got there and said, oh, for the love of God, save me, or something like that, you know, while I was sitting eating this meal. And some bright spark on Twitter, it didn't bother looking at the previous tweets, right, but saw this, put two and two together and got 26, because they looked up on the BBC website, they were flooding in my area. Concluded that I was stuck somewhere and called the fire brigade out to rescue me.
And then you had to explain to the family why the fire brigade have just suddenly turned up at the house.
They didn't find me. They couldn't find me, luckily. So we get this angry call from the fire brigade. It cost me £50 to the Firefighters Benevolent Fund to pay to this fireman. And the ironic thing was is at the time we were actually producing the Firefighters Benevolent Fund website. So
we were.
Which kind of made it even
worse.
He
just knocked off their bill.
So yes, that would be my
That's too story. Good. Can't beat
can't
that
be
one.
That.
No, that was quite a good one.
Well, I probably can, but
I do have a habit of having these kinds of stories where
implausible stories.
Mm. My life seems to be just a series of unfortunate events. Isn't that a film? I think that's a film, isn't it? A series of unfortunate events.
Mm. Anything for you, Andy?
Yes.
Yeah. We know this is what he just wanted someone to ask him. So he asked the question and like waited for everyone else to go on.
So yeah, is it true or is it false?
False.
Is it the truth or is it a lie? On my wedding day, 35 years ago, my wife called me the wrong name while cutting the cake.
I'm going to go true. I can imagine Sue doing that.
So is that true?
I'm just going along the lines of, why would he make that up?
What name did she say?
He said Matthew, she said Matthew, which is the name of my best man.
Ooh.
And yet you're still married 35 years later.
You put up with a lot, don't you?
Because, Marcus, surely you've got lots of outrageous stories from your pop star days.
Yeah, but they're probably not the kind of thing one would want to repeat on a family show like this. I do have some pretty outrageous stories, but they've nearly all got to do with drugs.
What kind of drugs? Are they over-the-counter prescription drugs? Perhaps, gout medication?
Some worse. Oh, amitriptyline. Yeah. That's how I know that there is a connection here, because that's how I know that certain sort of knock you out style drugs aren't for me, because it's the proverbial horse on the back, the sleepy horse on my back.
Has this given you enough time to think, John?
Well, did I tell you about my experience with the Nissan Qashqai earlier this year?
Oh,
no.
Okay. I mean, it's,
or have
it's
you
not,
just made this up?
No. This is the real thing, and it's not that not a big story. Not like the fire service one, which is fantastic. But I went to, because when I was changing car earlier this year, so I went to the Nissan dealership, and I thought, I've got to try everything, you know, in that kind of range. So I thought I'd go and have a look at a Qashqai, even though I thought, I don't know, it's a bit bored by the idea. So going to the dealership, got in the front, had a little look around. Yeah. Which is quite nice, you know, it's very modern, plush. So I thought, okay, I'll. There's no sales reps around. So I'm just going to take my time, look around. Thought I'd go in the back, see how the room was in the back, because I'm sort of the tallest of the family. So if I fit, we know we're going to be good. So I do that, get in the back. This is all very nice. Come to open the door, it's child locked. So I tried to sort of like raise an alarm or wave or something. I thought, okay, well, surely there's some kind of button in the front seat area to unlock the child locks and then I can get out. So I leapt through, tried pressing a few things. Didn't get anywhere, nothing. So I decided that, and because I was sort of around a corner as well, I wasn't really anywhere that sales reps would see unless they happened to walk all the way around, and they weren't because they were all busy. So I thought, I've got to climb through to the front seat, and I've got to climb through this little sort of area that's about this size, and I've got to squeeze my huge bulk through it. So I wish I'd recorded it now. I wish I'd set up my phone or something to record it on the dashboard, because, I mean, it was a good 5 minutes, but it felt like hours. Of squeezing every little bit of flesh through this tiny hole so that I could then flop onto the front seat, get out, leave the dealership really quickly. But I just like the idea of someone looking at the CCTV later on and just sort of seeing this person sort of contorted in the back of this Nissan Qashqai trying to get out. So it's not really a would I lie to you story, but it's...
You were the victim of new sales rep techniques, that is. They wait for you to go to them.
Yeah, until you're desperate to go to the loo and for food because you've been stuck in the back of a Qashqai.
It's a thing. It's they don't if they come and harass you, then they've gone all old school.
Right.
Yeah. I think it would be agony trying to get from the back seat through to the front seat of a car.
It was such a tiny gap thought. Between the two headrests. It was, I thought I wasn't going to get through. I thought I was going to be stuck halfway.
I'm going to be halfway stuck. Yeah. I can't go either way.
I would so pay money for that CCTV. I would, you know, that.
Yeah. I would like to see it back.
It'll be on the internet somewhere. Well,
that's the thing. Somewhere it is going to be. Like, you know, look at this twat.
It'll be on some TV highlight show with Jeremy Beadle. Let's talk about something which is...
If you say Club Biscuits, I'm going to slap slightly one.
No, not Club Biscuits.
Oh, okay.
It's something else that we want but we don't need.
Right.
We really don't need it.
Yeah, what's that?
You bought a new phone.
I needed my phone.
No,
yes,
you didn't,
it was
Paul.
Massively important.
So, what? Come on, give me the sales pitch then. What? I don't even bother looking anymore.
No.
What's different about the new one?
To be honest, I wanted a bigger zoom. All right, I could have got last year's one, but I figured that I ought to be patient and wait. So, yeah, this has got a 5x zoom rather than the 3x zoom, and I like that, basically.
Yeah.
That's it.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've got some extra stuff as well. I got, you know, because it's got the action button, which I've now got set for, so I can search on Perplexity. Everybody was going, we were talking, weren't we, in messaging earlier about how, oh no, that was my Slack channel, I'm getting confused. But instead of Googling things now, you talk to get AI to answer you using Perplexity or whatever, and it tells you instead. So I've got that set up, which is quite nice. The camera control that everybody's been going on about with the new iPhone is a bit of a gimmick, really. It's nice being able to press a button and it opens the camera app straight away, and press it again and you've taken a picture. So it's good. You can take pictures quickly. But all this swiping business and shit is just as fiddly as crap. So it's not very good, really. But yeah, that was it. It was just a 5x zoom that I was after. It was nothing very exciting, I'm afraid.
But what I find funny is that last time we did a podcast, you had got the new iPad, the iPad Pro. Kath did.
Yeah, that was it.
Kath did. So I kind of like, I'd got my new iPad Pro and I was thinking, oh, I'm keeping up with the Boags. And I'm like, no. Because he's got a new phone. And I love the fact that when you said, I didn't get one last year.
Yeah, no, I'm terrible. I have defeated problems, John. You know, there's no getting around it.
Are you one of those that do it every year?
No, I'm not.
Tend to.
But I would do, given if I was allowed to by my wife.
I've got a question, Paul, because when you and I and Sue and Kath spent a bunch of time together last year, it was.
Yes,
in
crikey.
The Vans,
yes.
You were very excited about the Vision Pro. And you did say, cool, I'm going to get one of those because it's going to be like having a big monitor to work on in the van.
Andy, let me stop you there. We've already covered this on the other show.
Yeah, so we can
move
it
on
here.
You know.
Yeah, we've done that already.
But did you buy one?
No, I didn't. I tell you why I haven't bought one is because I did a bet with Marcus. Marcus bet me that I would buy one, so now I can't buy one.
He's got until the end of the year, and it's only a fiver. It was worth it.
But what is this other show that you keep talking about?
All right, it's nobody's ever heard of it.
See, I talking about the Vision Pro, I didn't realise this.
I have tried it, by the way.
It's rubbish. But the idea of having this thing on and like at work, because I hadn't put two and two together, and you sat there and you've still got your keyboard and your mouse, say, or whatever things you use to control, you've got no more screens anymore. It's just there around you. As many kind of workspaces as you want. That's really quite appealing, I have to say. Not with this great big thing on my head, but if it was a pair of glasses. Now we're talking.
Facebook Meta were showing off their Orion project, which isn't... why on earth they were showing it off when it's not a real product yet, I don't know. I've got a real problem with this new thing of... Oh, we're going to show you this thing, but you can't buy it. And we are.
But it's not real.
We are going to roll it out, promise. Yeah, it'll definitely happen. Yeah. You know, I'll sod off.
But it was great because they got Woody Allen out to demonstrate it, didn't they?
Did they?
Woody Allen.
Did you not see the photos from the event? Okay, so I'll explain the joke now, which will make it even funnier, having explained it.
It usually works better when you explain.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg. First of all, Mark Zuckerberg's now got sort of longer, curlier hair.
Mm-hmm.
The actual glasses were very sort of thick-framed.
Yeah.
Like these, but really sort of thick-framed ones. And it just made him look like Woody Allen. Oh. There we go.
It wasn't actually Woody Allen.
No. Let's just move on.
I did try. We went into an Apple store and I tried the Vision Pro. Have you tried it?
No. Nope.
It's worth it. Go in and try it. It's a bit that, oh God, they're bloody reading off of a script, right? It's so awful. Because you go in and you know it's so Americanized. And even I did it in the UK, but it's still Americanized. And you go in and you've got your appointment. You go up to somebody and say, "I'm here to try the Vision Pro." And this person says, "Are you excited to try the Vision Pro today?" And then, you know, I was standing around.
No.
I was standing around waiting, and someone else came over to me and said, "Oh, you waiting for something? Can I help you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm here to try the Vision Pro. Are you excited to try the Vision Pro today?" They all said the same line. And then after it, you know, he said, were you excited? Did you find it amazing? Oh, and it's like, I just want to give you a slap. Let me try the thing out. And I'm British. I don't get excited about anything, you know. Just let me. So, but the actual technology is mind-blowing. I wouldn't pay that amount of money for it. And I think, it, like Marcus...
My fiver says different.
And it gets a bit sweaty and a bit heavy, so I don't think you would use it for prolonged sessions. But it is the most incredible thing. I mean, it just feels real. I don't know. It's impossible to describe without trying it for yourself. So if you get a chance to go into an Apple store and give it a go, it's worth it just for half an hour of your time. But I'm waiting for the second generation, which will hopefully be cheaper and lighter. And
glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a little while.
I would love to try it, but presumably you have to do a special appointment to try it. You know, cause Apple stores, they're not out. You can't just pick one up
and
try one.
No, they take you through this very controlled demo. Like, for example, the one thing that I wanted to try is what Marcus is talking about, which is connecting it to a Mac and seeing the screen up and, you know, all of that. That's not part of the demo, so I didn't get to try that. I was reassured because the thing that I was worrying about was that it wouldn't be sharp enough, you know, and you wouldn't, especially if you're doing designy work, which admittedly I don't do as much as you and John and Andy, but even so, I'd want it to be sharp and crisp and all the rest of it, but it is incredibly sharp and crisp. The resolution is incredible. You can't see pixels or anything like that. So movie watching, you'd never go to the cinema again. I mean, you know, no sticky floors, no people sitting next to you smelling. You know, it's just it was just incredible, really, really good.
Yeah,
of course you would go to the cinema because you go with someone else, but you know.
But I say it's a very solo experience.
Yeah,
you know, and that's fine. Because there's often stuff that only I want to watch. So
fundamentally, I don't like other people. So anything that I could put over my head to block out everybody else, I mean, that's perfect, isn't it? Really.
Well, I'm very glad we're not going to talk about the Vision Pro on this podcast.
In answer to John's question with glasses, it's slick, right? So when you come in to the demo, they say, can I take your glasses? So you take my glasses, and I think, because obviously I can't see anything without my glasses, they took it over to this machine and they put the glasses in the machine and it scans
and crushed
it.
Them.
They put it down.
You won't be needing those anymore.
And that takes your prescription, and then that goes off upstairs, and they measure your face as well. You scan it with your iPhone to measure your face, and then that goes up upstairs, and then they come down with basically on a silver platter. They have this tray with your own face mask and your prescription, and they're basically just slotting lenses that magnetically fit in. And it was brilliant. Best I've been able to see for years, to be honest. I could see far better in those than I could see in the real world.
I was in the Apple store the other day. Michelle's got herself the new Apple Watch 10, which I have to say I'm quite impressed by. And I thought I would never, ever want one of something like that in my life, ever, ever.
What is it you like about it?
How slick it is. But I guess that's no surprise with Apple products, but it's... For the first ones that came out, there was no ability to talk through them and make calls and that kind of thing, or kind of respond to stuff that people sent you. She doesn't need the phone anymore. You know, she can go out the whole day without a phone.
Oh, so she's got the one with the cellular connection in, has she? The posh one.
And it's like,
They got money, that.
Gold. Anyway, so but that's by the by. It's a cool, very cool thing that I thought, I never want those. Now I'm like, maybe I would. But anyway, there were people... just sort of playing with the Vision Pros twice when I was in there. So I think maybe they've kind of relaxed it a bit
now, good.
And you can probably just go and have a go. But you still need to sort your glasses out.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the Apple Store employees coming up to you and saying, yeah, are you excited? I just kept thinking of this famous clip. You've probably seen it with Robert Smith of The Cure. And they're at I think it's something like the Rock Hall of Fame. And they've got this American journalist who runs up to them and says, "Hi, Robert Smith, welcome. Are you as excited as I am?" And he just looks at her and says, "Well, by the sounds of it, no." So, and it's this wonderful kind of like, you know, British versus Americans. And I'm not saying that like the British is right and wrong or whatever, but it's you know, it is just the difference. Neatly encapsulated.
I got to say, I like it out here for that. You know, although I'm rude about it, but the flip side of it, you know, I mean, we were sitting, you know, in this vineyard last night, and they'll talk to you. Do you know what I mean? They're just, you know, there, and they interact with you. And we sat for probably, I don't know, good 3/4 of an hour just chatting with random people because they, you know, they will engage with you, and there's not that reserve that we have in Britain or that cynicism. Yeah, see, yeah, John is shivering just at the thought of a stranger talking to him. That reminds me of that. Have you seen that clip about, what was it? It was on the MASH report. You know, they do the fake news bit on the MASH report. I don't know whether you've ever seen it. And the headline was Londoners traumatised by Northerners saying hello to them in the street.
So are you going to be there in November, or will you be back by then?
We flee the country just as the election finishes, just in case. So I think they're voting on the 6th and we leave on the 8th or something like that. I can't remember exact dates, but... So we're getting out of there just in case it all kicks off and, you know, the country burns down. No, it's pure coincidence, but yeah, we'll be leaving by then. So what do we reckon is going to happen? I've got a feeling that I think we might have a woman president. I've got a sneaky suspicion.
Don't say it out loud.
Have I touched wood? He says, well, actually, I'm not sure that's entirely wood, but anyway.
Touch melamine.
I couldn't wish for anything more harderer. I don't
more
think.
Harderer. Mm. That's good grammar there.
Yes. Good England, that is.
Your problem with words continues, Marcus.
It does.
Well, you can get medication to make things harder. Apparently.
Apparently, yes.
Shall we wrap it up?
I think we should. Nice to see you chaps, by the way.
Yes, likewise.
Well, thank you very much for tuning in to rather random episode.
What do you mean? They're all random. Why is this one less or more random than any other?
I don't know. It just... Sometimes we attempt to be structured, and today...
We didn't.
At all. Which is fine. So thank you very much, and we will see you on the next one.
God willing.